So, Richard, Aina and Fer, do you have a listen to this wonderful sound? It is a swan. I'm sure, Richard, you'll be able to identify it.
Well, I must confess that having heard trumpeters, whistler swans, Buick swans and whooper swans, I would be very reluctant to pronounce ex cathedra that a particular sound belongs to any one of them.
Are you serious?
They're kind of alike, you know. Well, maybe somebody else out there with
better
ear.
That doesn't sound like the trumpeter swan. The trumpeter swan is more...
Well, not quite
like that, but it's very different to that sound.
If you heard them side by side, I suppose. I don't know. I wouldn't be too dogmatic about it.
It's the honking sound of a flock of Buick swans. Once familiar sound across our countryside, but one which will now likely disappear, we're told. We've seen their numbers drop from a couple of thousand in the 1980s to just 21 5 years ago. Just 21 Buick swans 5 years ago. This dramatic decline is primarily due to climate change, as Buicks, who normally migrate from the tundra of Russia, are staying closer to home because of warmer temperatures there. Brian Burke of Birdwatch Ireland believes that it's inevitable now that we will lose them as a regular species here in Ireland. And Brian is in studio with us now. Brian, tell us more, please, if you would. So they're not a resident species, correct?
No, they're one that arrives in the winter. So we have two migratory swans, the Hooper swan and the Buick swan. And as you said, the Buick swan, their numbers have been going down and down and down. And this January, we're having an international swan census. So we're trying to count all of our migratory swans. And coming into this winter, we didn't know if we were going to have any Buick swans in the country at all.
So they're coming in, as I said, from the tundra in Russia.
Yeah.
And the Hoopers are coming in from?
From Iceland.
From Iceland. But the resident species we have here are?
The mute swan.
The mute swan.
So they don't really move out of Ireland or into Ireland at all.
So we have three species in effect of swan in Ireland. Okay, occasionally people see the black swans and they're always in touch with us when they see those. But we have three species of swan. They all look very similar. It's very hard to tell them apart if you haven't got a trained eye, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few little clues that will tip you off to what you're seeing. So if you see them standing in the middle of a field, even if you can't see any of the bill colour or anything like that, it's unlikely to be a mute swan, much more likely to be a Hooper or a Buick swan. And again, just because we have so few Buicks, we tend to get a lot of reports in Birdwatch Ireland of huge numbers of swans in fields at this time of year, and that more than likely is going to be.
Now, the Buick then, tell me about the bill. What colour is it?
So it's a yellow and black bill, so it's similar in that way to the Hooper swan. They also have a yellow and black bill compared to the mute swan, a resident mute swan that is orange and black. But the Buick swan has much more black on its bill than the Hooper swan.
Okay, so now tell me about your survey. What are you doing? Your census?
Yeah, so it's the International Swan Census. We do this every 5 years and it's been happening since the 1980s. International, so we're working together with colleagues, Graham McElwain up in Northern Ireland, Kane Brides in the Wildfowl and Wetlands Trust in the UK, and colleagues in Iceland and Northern Europe as well. And essentially we have a big volunteer network of people who go out and count their water birds every winter and submit the data to us for the Irish Wetland Bird Survey. And every 5 years we ask them to go and do a little extra thing, and that's go look for swans. So the reason we do an extra survey for swans is because a lot of the time they're out in fields and stuff like that. So if we were just surveying the wetlands, we could quite easily miss the swans.
And how long does the census run from?
So it was focused on a weekend at the start of January, but we allow records a couple of days either side of that as well.
So people can still send them in now?
Yeah, absolutely. Any records of swans around the country, please do give us a shout.
And when you say records, do you want pictures?
Well, ideally, we'd like a rough idea of the number and the location.
Right.
So that's really when we're
talking
about data.
But unless you have a picture, you don't know what it is, do you? So
yeah, but again, there's those context clues. So if it looks like a Hooper swan and sounds like a Hooper swan, it's more than likely a Hooper swan, you know?
Okay, Richard.
Yeah, it's fraught with difficulty. And the rarer they get, the more difficult it becomes, in a way, to census them, because they look rather alike. And you have to have your bit of a trained eye to spot, oh, well, the number third from the left is actually a Buick. He's much smaller. But that can fool you. He might be down in a depression or something and you can't see the difference. So it would seem to me a tricky enough proposition to determine the last few Buicks in
Ireland.
Do you get
mixed flocks?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So they're very similar requirements in terms of their diet and all that kind of stuff. So absolutely, yeah, they'll mix in together.
But why is climate change affecting one lot and not the other? I mean, they both come here in the wintertime because where they live, there's no food for them. I mean, the Iceland one's covered in snow, Scandinavia the same. And how come now the Scandinavian ones are no longer coming, but the Icelandic ones still are? I mean, if the place is warming up, why are they coming at all? Why aren't they all staying away?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously climate change is kind of happening somewhat gradually, although quite rapid as well. The Buick swans are coming from northern Russia. That's a huge distance away. And essentially, as they leave northern Russia looking for places where there's no ice, where they can feed and rest during the winter, Ireland is kind of the last stop. So traditionally Europe was so cold that they would keep on going to Ireland.
Why would they come to Ireland? You said it there yourself, it's the last stop. Surely there's lots of landmass all the way along there where they could stop.
Yeah,
there can't
absolutely
be that many of them that they can't find a little bit of grass for themselves. Like,
yeah,
all the way
yeah
over here.
I suppose they want a bit of space, and they want, you know, a good patch of habitat that'll keep them going through the winter.
And this has to be generational. Presumably,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, has this been passed on? Oh, you go to Ireland, you stop off in England, you stop off in Poland, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, so yeah, these changes tend to happen quite gradually because swans and a lot of our geese species as well would be very site faithful, which means they kind of come to the same spot year after year, even the same field, not even just the same townland or whatever else. But essentially, the Hooper swans coming from Iceland, it's a relatively short distance. Ireland is one of the first stops when they leave Iceland. It's pretty mild here, it's pretty wet here, there's loads of habitat. Why would I go any further? Ireland is perfect. For the Buick swans, they're passing over loads of European countries and even the UK and all that kind of stuff. Ireland is the last stop. And if you can save yourself a bit of energy by not flying as far, you're going to do that. So that's what they've done.
Well, that gradual movement south is not possible for somebody in Iceland. You either are going to stay in Iceland or you're going to fly the whole way to Ireland or to West Coast of Scotland or something like that. So the Hooper hasn't really got the option of staging, whereas the Buick can get up and say, it's a lovely day, I think I'll stay here for another while, and he stays on and he stays on, and then he moves a little bit further south. But he never has to come all the way to Ireland or to Britain, so he can come to compromise. But the Hooper can't. But the interesting question about that, Brian, is a lot of Hoopers are staying behind in Iceland. With global warming, presumably more of them will opt to stay behind in Iceland because of the long journey back and forth and the risks and so forth. Is there any evidence that that is happening, or do these counts indicate we have this prospect ahead of us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the recent censuses have kind of shown that, where it's still a relatively small proportion of the full population of Hooper swans, but it is gradually increasing, the number that are just saying, yeah, let's just stay in Iceland, and we'll be first back in our breeding territory in the summer, and, you know, that's working for them.
A lady in the Wildfowl and Wetlands Trust in Britain last year, or the year before, I think it was last year, maybe it was the year before, but she decided to follow the Buick swans from Siberia in a microlight, and she took off and she followed them as to the best of her ability all the way, hopefully to Slimbridge in Gloucestershire in England. I've heard very little about her findings, if there were any, Mara. Have you information on how that went and what you found out?
No, I think so the Wildfowl and Wetlands Trust in the UK are doing a huge amount of research between colour ringing and GPS tracking and all that kind of stuff of the swans. So I think her project was maybe to raise awareness of the kind of the cultural and the significance of these species. A lot of these migratory swans in particular are kind of the stuff of legend, whether it's the Children of Lear here in Ireland, and a lot of even in other European countries, there's a lot of cultural significance to these birds. So that's one of the many reasons we try and conserve our wildlife. You know, they're a part of our culture.
Yeah, I mean, you have Grimm's and Anne's Anderson fairy tales about wild swans and that as well, too.
Yeah, and there's Roman kind of Roman kind of history and Roman gods and stuff, and association with turning into swans and flying off into the heavens, where actually they just would have been migrating back north, you know. But it's amazing.
So we might end up then, not very distant future, with only having our mute swans and having no migratory swans at all.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. I'd say it'll be a much more gradual process. So the Hooper swan population, we've talked about the Buicks and the fact that they're really declining, and we are going to lose them from Ireland. The Hooper swan numbers are going up and up and up, and the last census, it was their highest numbers on record.
Why do they go back? Why won't they stay here? And we've plenty of grass in the summertime for them.
Do you know, we do get a handful of birds, but I'd say a lot of it is that genetic programming. But we do have a handful of birds that do stay in Ireland every summer, and it's certainly up in counties like Donegal and I think Loch Carrib in Galway and a few places like that, you do get individual pairs breeding where maybe one or two birds, you know, decided to wait on, and if it's a male and a female.
Well, if they never go back, at what point do they become part of our native flora?
Yeah, well
sorry, native fauna.
Yeah, well, I suppose we would consider them native, but resident, I suppose, is the word we'd use. So mute swans are resident because they don't leave here at all, but Hooper swans would be native.
No. So when do they become resident? When do they become resident?
You have swallows who come and they breed here.
Yeah.
And they go away in the winter.
No, but if they come here and they stay here, at what point do we say they're part of our flora and fauna? They are here all the time.
And then there are residents.
Then they would be resident because they're also here. Yeah, it's
but still, at the beginning, I'm saying to you, so we've got three swans in Ireland. One is resident all year round. That's the mute swan. The other are winter visitors. But if they're staying, then they're resident too. Yeah, that's what I'm asking you. What point does a species become resident?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest.
Why did Ferdy Mardell leave? We could have asked.
No, there's migrant and there's resident and there's partial migrant. Most of our little birds, for instance, are partial migrants. Sometimes a very small proportion of the population migrates. Sometimes it's quite large. A few robins go and come, but they're more or less resident. But I want to ask Brian about the more broader question. The reason hoopers are increasing in numbers, to somebody like me looking at it from the outside and not knowing what's on the ground, is it the case that they're doing well in Iceland because global warming is warming the place up? Habitat is much more sympathetic towards raising swans than it was in the past, and there are no polar bears. They don't allow them to get into Iceland. Well,
they occasionally get there, rarely though.
But well, they're all shot on
But occasionally they get in. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Well, now, is it the case that a habitat has been created in Iceland which favours the reproduction of them, so they have, and people don't hunt them like they did in the past, they don't harass them to the same extent, and therefore is this the reason that they're doing very well and so many come here?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's nothing conclusive on the precise mechanisms that are leading to their increase yet, but I would strongly suspect that is the case. And the reason I would say that is because, so I work on the Irish Wetland Bird Survey. That's a project we coordinate with in Birdwatch Ireland, but it's funded by the National Parks and Wildlife Service. And we did a lot of research last year into updating how our numbers of waders and ducks and other wintering water birds are doing. One of the very few species that's increasing is the black-tailed godwit. And their numbers have really, really increased in the last 20 years. And they all come from Iceland as well. And the reason they're increasing is because of that the habitat is opening up in Iceland. They have more space to breed.
And are they counting them in Iceland as well? Are they counting their hooper swan there?
Yeah, so the reason we do an international census is that more or less everyone in all these countries throughout the species range go out on the exact same weekend. And that way you're assuring you're not missing any birds and you're not double counting any birds as well. So our Icelandic colleagues were
actually... And are they only Iceland? Is that the entire range? Don't go further to Greenland. I mean, Iceland is the beginning and end of the hoopers.
No, for that population. Yes, but there are hooper swans that breed in Russia, but they don't come near Ireland or Britain or anywhere like that.
Well, now if we transfer this argument then to the Buick, one would expect on the face of it to do better as the place thaws out and becomes more hospitable. But the Buick is subject to predation by all kinds of things. Even brown bears come along and eat up the eggs and the young. Wolves, all kinds of things threaten them there, which don't threaten the fella in Iceland because it's a kind of an artificial entity. There's nothing like that to kill them. So is the Buick on the broad spectrum of things? Is it declining? Do we know that it is declining?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things was the Buicks have been declining in Ireland since the 1980s, and at that time the Buick swan international population was increasing. So we knew that it wasn't necessarily that the birds were doing bad, they just didn't need to come as far as Ireland. Since the mid-90s, Buick swan numbers have been declining as well. And again, that's because of things like climate change, predation, humans encroaching on their habitat. There's a lot of shooting going on. But equally with the other wader species that come to Ireland and the ducks and stuff like that in the winter, we know the ones coming from that direction, from Siberia, from Arctic Russia, from Scandinavia, are declining as well.
Anyway, you're looking for records. And how can people contact you?
So if they get in touch with iwebs@birdwatchireland.ie, or even if you give us a shout on social media or something like that and just say you've got a swan record, it'll get to me.
We'll make sure we put the details on our website, which is rte.ie/money. Brian, thank you very much indeed.